I'm glad today I can say I know I'm saved. The Bible says that Jesus came and died on the cross that he might give the knowledge of salvation. A person can know. John wrote in 1 John, he said, I write these things that you might know that you have eternal life. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know. To know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. I believe in a know-so salvation. You can know that you're saved. Know that you're on your way to heaven. When we talk about being saved, we're talking about being delivered from sin. Delivered from the consequences of sin. Delivered from the condemnation of sin. The Bible tells us that those that are in Christ Jesus, he says, those who are in Christ Jesus do not have any condemnation upon them. Now that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. We've been saved from condemnation. We have the atoning blood of Jesus Christ upon our hearts and upon our lives. And that's a blessed experience. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved. Amen. Now there's people here among us and you're unsure. You're not sure where you stand with the Lord. You've never had a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Actually, there's never been a time and a place in your life where you repented of your sins and come to know the true living God. There's never been a time in your life when a new spirit, a new life came in you. Listen, if you've never had an experience of grace upon your heart and your life, you need one. Actually, you must have one. Didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, you must be born again? Amen. He went on a little further in the 8th verse and he talked about that experience where the new life comes in you that wasn't there before. He talked about the Spirit of God coming into your heart and your life that breaks the bonds of sin. We've been set free. Amen. Set free. Delivered from the captivity of sin. And he talked about that and he said, everyone must have that experience. Amen. Now, we require that here at Victory. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. The church is built up on lively stones. Those that have a lively hope placed deep inside of them. Listen, we don't create that hope. We don't manufacture that hope. That hope is not natural. It's supernatural. It comes from God. Amen. Comes from the throne of God. Listen, if you've never had the Holy Spirit take and write your name, dip that quill in the crimson blood of Jesus and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you need that to happen. For everyone who is saved knows that their name is written down in glory. Jesus told the disciples on one occasion, they were able to do great and mighty things. He said, hey, don't get all excited about that. Don't rejoice over that. He said, rejoice in that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm telling you, Jesus said, everybody that's saved, they know that their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know a whole lot, all right? But I know my name is written down in heaven. Praise God. And there's people here today, they're not sure about that. You don't know that your name's written down in heaven. You can't rejoice in the hope and glory of God. You couldn't even sing that song honestly and sincerely when we sang, I know I'm saved, because you're not sure. You're just not sure where you stand with the Lord. Well, here at Victory Church, we want people to be sure. We don't want you to just have some human mechanical assurance. We want you to have divine assurance. Listen, everybody that's a child of God has a witness in themselves. A divine assurance. We tell our little kids as they're growing up that God will speak to them in a place where nobody else can speak. Huh? And let them know that they're lost and let them know that they're saved. Huh? You know why? Because salvation is a work of the heart. Work of the soul. He said under the new covenant that everybody that's saved, he would write His laws upon their heart. He would give them a new heart, praise God, for that kind of surgical, spiritual, surgical operation that takes place inside of us. When I got saved, something changed. My attitude changed. My heart changed. My life changed. There was something in me that pulled me and drew me toward righteousness and holiness, godliness. Pull me away from sin and iniquity. Listen, if there's not something in your heart that pulls you toward a holy God, then you've never been saved. Never been saved. We here at Victory, we're pretty adamant about this thing. We teach that a person who gets saved, they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I think I'm just going to have to preach. We believe that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Redeeming power. Holy Ghost power in the blood of Jesus. This is not some abstract, nominal thing that takes place on Golgotha's hill and doesn't change your heart. It's something that took place on Golgotha's hill that will rearrange your life. I'm telling you, on the third day, Jesus, He came forth out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He lives. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's there making intercessions for us. He's there helping the church, walking among the candlesticks. Praise God. He's here among us today, working on hearts of sinners, convicting them and reproving them by the Holy Ghost, reproving them of righteousness and judgment to come. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost is necessary in the work of your redemption. Without a Holy Ghost work upon your hearts, you're unsaved. We believe the Holy Ghost is instrumental in repentance. We believe the Holy Ghost is instrumental in the preaching. We believe the Holy Ghost is instrumental in convicting you and converting you and transforming you and working in your life as you, after you get saved, as you work toward greater sanctification and righteousness. We believe that the Holy Ghost stays with you when it comes in you, and it helps you to live the Christian life. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but not all churches believe that. Yesterday I was working on the components that construct, or the components that are necessary, the components that exist in a true church of Jesus Christ. And I was looking in the 16th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus first mentioned the word church or ecclesia. And He told Peter, after Peter had made that glorious confession, and He said that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Thou art Simon Bar Jonah, Thou art Peter. And He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's something unique about Peter's confession. Jesus said this, listen very closely, the 16th chapter of Matthew. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen, our salvation must be based upon a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And He said, upon this I'll build my church. The church is founded upon people that have a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ that comes from heaven, that comes from the Father. And listen, my friend, when you have a bunch of people that don't have a spiritual Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father revealed experience of salvation, you don't have a church. That's the first and fundamental element and aspect of a true church of Jesus Christ. He went on and talked about
He said, then I give unto you the keys, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen, that's one of the reasons that we here at Victory Church, we don't accept people into our membership that don't have a revealed knowledge from the Father. We have a right to. You know why we have a right to? Because our doctrine and our teaching and our stance corresponds with heaven. You can't be a member of the Lord's church unless the Lord adds you. Amen. Isn't that what you taught, Brother JT? Yeah. Look in the book of Acts. You can't be a member of the Lord's church unless you're saved. Born again of the Spirit of God. Listen, if you're part of a church that lets people in who don't have a born again experience, you've got a problem with the church you're a member of. It's a good possibility. It is not a true church of Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most probing questions that I have asked me from time to time is there a true church here? I've moved to this area, this town. I can't find a sound church. Some of our children that left this congregation and went off to other areas, they call me, they ask me, they talk to me, they say, I can't find a true church of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they're hard to find. You might say, well, preacher, all you got to do is look in the yellow pages, or all you got to do is look down the road. Look at all these signs. I'm telling you, those churches are not true churches of Jesus Christ because they're not founded upon the rock that Jesus said a church must be founded upon. And I am offended by them even using the word church. I really am, because that deceives a lot of people. They're not true churches. They're not founded upon people being saved. They're founded upon entertainment, on having a good old time. You know, they're founded upon carnal, human things. You know, they're all about having fun and having pleasure, or they want to teach you how to just have a more productive life, or they preach sermons of 5 points of prosperity, or they just want to uplift your spirit and make you feel good about yourself. Listen, that isn't what church is about. Church is about righteousness and holiness. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're part of a church that doesn't put emphasis upon the cross, if it doesn't put emphasis upon what Jesus did, if it doesn't exalt and glorify and adhere to Jesus Christ and his teachings, you need to come out of her. Amen. 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 We've been studying the book of Revelation. And in that 17th and 18th chapter, the Lord cries out and says, come out of her. Come out of mystical Babylon. And we just looked at this a little bit Wednesday night, that the Lord has people in mystical Babylon. And says, come out. Come out. If you don't come out, you'll experience her plagues. If you don't come out, you'll experience her judgments. Listen, there's a blessing associated with being part of the Lord's church. A wonderful blessing. A great blessing. Well, anyway. Yeah. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. You know, but some of you, you're here this morning. You've not made your calling and your election sure. You're not founded upon a solid, secure foundation. You know, there's no greater and better foundation that's been laid than what was laid by Christ Jesus. You're not building your life upon his death and upon his sayings and upon his teachings. Come on, who do you think you're kidding? It's time for you to move away from the hypocrisy and move toward truth. Where do you really stand with God? God, right now, by the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad the Holy Ghost works with the gospel. Yep. Yeah. You know, I've been right where you're at. I remember when the Holy Spirit came to me through the preaching of the cross and convicted me. You remember that day? I mean, God spoke inside of me. He let me know I needed to be saved. I remember when the preachers would give the invitation and my heart would do. Y'all remember that? Huh? Yeah. I mean, it was so spiritual that it was almost physical. Amen. Yeah. It was so spiritual. It was affecting me physically. And that happens. That's biblical. Amen. There are times where the Apostle Paul stood before men and preached to them and they would tremble. Felix trembled when Paul reasoned with him concerning judgment and righteousness and things to come. I'm telling you, there's sometimes a physical aspect to the spiritual workings of God. Some of you, or you're really good at hiding it. Yeah. Disguising it. But you cannot, if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and speaking to you, you can't get away from it. It'll go with you. It'll follow you home. That's why we have so many people that get saved at home. Yeah, it'll visit you in the middle of the night while you're driving down the road. It'll visit you while you're at work. I'm telling you, if you'll move toward God and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and believing upon Him with all of your heart, He will save you. He will deliver you. You'll know that your name is written down in glory and you're on your way to heaven. Amen? But you have to make a move. You must make a move toward the Lord. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come and we're going to pray. We're going to have what's called an old-fashioned altar of prayer. I like that. Amen. I'm not really old-fashioned. I got the neatest, most technological gadgets there is. I wouldn't call myself old-fashioned at all. No, no. I got a droid. Hey, I'm right on top of things here. Not old-fashioned at all. But you know, when we talk about old-fashioned, we're talking about things that do not change. Amen. We're talking about the way that's always been the way. We're talking about like what Jeremiah said, the old paths. Yeah, ask for the old ways, the old paths. You know why? Because the way to God has never changed. Amen. It's always been the same. The way people got saved years ago, they still have to get saved today. Amen. Yeah, the way I got saved, you've got to get saved that same way. And so it's just never changed. And you know, you can't get saved unless you call upon the Lord. Romans chapter 10, I believe it's verse 13 or 23. Sometimes I get my numbers inverted. It says, whosoever shall call. You know what the word call means? It means pray. It means to worship. It means to surrender yourself. It means to yield yourself. It means to pour yourself out like water upon the ground and be absorbed in Him. Whosoever shall call. Remember Elijah long ago when he went up on Mount Carmel? He said, I'm going to call on the Lord. You know what he did? He prayed. He prayed to the Lord and fire came down from heaven. He was talking about prayer. And that's what the word call means. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at people that try to say you can get saved without praying. Amen. These people are not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Listen, if you didn't pray when you got saved, you didn't get saved. You must pray. You must call on the Lord. You cannot be saved unless you call on the Lord. People get saved by praying. The Bible talks about the sins being so heavy upon us that there are times that while we're praying, we weep and we cry. We mourn over our iniquity. I contend that in repentance and in regeneration and in reconciliation and in justification, there's one primary component, and that is that sin must be dealt with. And listen, if you're not sorry over your sins, if you don't have a godly sorrow, you'll never repent. Bible says godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. You'll never repent unless you're sorry. But it's not just a worldly, natural sorrow. It's a Holy Ghost sorrow. It's a sorrow over sin. Do you remember the weight of sin that was upon your soul? How heavy it was. And you wanted relief from that. And I contend in regeneration, that's the process by which your love for sin is removed. I believe there needs to be a break from the love of sin. And you need that. And that the only way you can have that is by being delivered from sin, being saved, and experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you've never been saved from sin, you need to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He may be near. He's here today. Call upon Him while He is near. I've already worked up a sweat. You guys know how important this is? Huh? For these folks that are among us that have never come to the fountain and drank of the living water, you know how important it is for them to get saved today? You know that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. You know how important it is for these people to get saved today and not leave and go out there into the world? You know how dangerous it is out there? You know how soon they could die? You know the brevity of life? You know we know our life is but a vapor. We know it's very short, and we know how dangerous it is in the world. The wages of sin is death. But listen, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't have eternal life, I pray that you will seek Him out and find Him today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to do something else. If you are here and there's somebody on your heart that you believe the Holy Ghost is working with, God is impressing you to go speak to them and ask them to come and be involved in this prayer. I want to ask you to do that. Go to them. Let's stand. Let's sing. Is there somebody here and you need to pray? You've never come underneath the crimson flow. You've never sought the Lord and been saved. Is there somebody here that the Lord is wanting to save today? Do you have eternal life in Christ Jesus? Let's sing. Is there somebody here today? Why won't you come? Call on the Lord. You can know that your name is written down in glory as we sing. 45, is there somebody here today? You've never been saved by the grace of God, and you feel like praying. Is there anybody here today? The crimson flow. Is there somebody here today? Let's get on the altar and have an altar prayer. All that will.
Listen, people are getting right with God. They're coming beneath the crimson flow and having their sins washed away. Have you experienced that in your heart and life? Do you know that you know you're saved and on your way to heaven? Jesus said you can know. You can know that you're one of His and that you're a child of God. Is there anyone else? While these are praying and seeking the Lord, would you like to come? Listen, if there's any question about where you stand with the Lord, maybe you need to pray. Maybe the Lord is speaking inside your heart and saying, you need to get right. You need to know for sure. Come, surrender yourself, repent of your sins, look to the cross. Look on Him whom you pierced. He'll save you from your sins. We're going to extend the invitation through another song. Anyone else? While these are praying, let's gather in among them and pray with them. Listen, if there's an uneasiness inside of you, that's not me. That's God. That's God speaking to you. That's not me. I can't cause that kind of uneasiness deep inside your soul. That's God. That's God. Listen to God. Word of God says this, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart.